Welcome back to episode 16 of Box, Box, Box. It is, well, was the Miami GP, Dominic.
It was.
How the devil are you?
I'm okay. I didn't get the best night's sleep, but I'm alive and well. Well, yeah. Loose play on the word well, but here we are.
You know, we're trying a different format today. A bit, there's not a cold opener today, so sorry about that. So strike the gate. Dom, what are you wearing today?
Me? I'm doing the forbidden thing and wearing a bit of both, but I think that's acceptable in Formula One. It's not more so in other sports, but
I feel people aren't going to get too pressed over that.
I'm wearing an old Mercedes t-shirt. And
Lewis Hamilton one?
It would have been that area. Yeah. It's Hugo Boss when they were sponsored by them. So it would have been like, I think pre-lockdown Mercedes.
Yeah.
And, you know, the special, just trying to get it in the shop.
I will say, I do enjoy that McLaren hat. Which year is that?
This is old. I think it's like 2008.
So that's some freedom. That's some pre-tariff shit that is.
I got this one. I got the Japan one that I wore for the Japanese Grand Prix. There's quite a few, but I don't have all of them, but I've got a couple. But I felt like I had to get this one out for the American. I don't wear them. They're all like on the wall in my bedroom. But
sensational.
When they come out for the races, it's got to be done.
So now, what are we talking about today?
We've got quite a few things. So there's been some rumours about a new contender for FIA president.
Ooh. We've also got changes in Alpine.
More changes in Alpine.
McLaren, somehow we're making history.
You don't know why I put that bullet point, do you?
Oh, well, I know exactly why you put that bullet point.
That's all right then. Well, we're also talking about a new potential future world champion. Not this year, maybe not next year, but you know, maybe in many years to
come. As well, we are going over the Miami sprint and race highlights. So before we get started, Dom, let's talk about this FIA rumour. Now, I remember when we first started this, there was the rumour that Susie Wolf was going to be president of the FIA.
And yeah, that was kind of shot down pretty quickly.
Yeah, that was. And me and you were like, well, I was gassed about it. But Carlos Sainz Sr.
I know. Again,
I feel for the people, I hope people would know who Carlos Sainz Sr. is, but if you don't, he is a multi-time, I don't know the exact number, but Dakar championship. And if you know about Dakar, it's one of the hardest races.
It's various other types of rally as well. And yeah, didn't he do Le Mans as well?
I'm not sure.
I know he's competed in some other motorsport things and done quite well.
But he's a legend of motorsport. So I think...
And still a handsome bastard.
Have you seen the fucking thingy adverts with him and Carlos?
Yes.
Is it Hackett? And I'm just there like, my God, look at these handsome bastards.
Like, that is some serious bloodline. Like, if I was a woman...
Have you seen his granddad as well?
No, but I can believe it.
Equally as just much of a weapon, just with white hair.
If I was a woman, I'd be like, I'd continue your bloodline, personally. I'm not going to lie.
God damn it, Dominic. But I feel with Sainz Sr. being president of the FIA, he's going to be a lot more lenient and understand actual motorsport because it's not going to be financial-based decisions.
I feel like the only negative side to him being president is...
His son's in Formula One.
Everyone would play that he would have a biased opinion. And to be honest, I think he's probably like Carlos Jr.'s biggest critic, really. So like...
Yeah, he is. If
he fucks up, he's going to be like, you fucked up. I ain't on your side, so...
No, I do feel he'd be a very fair president to the FIA because it's Saheed...
Mohammed some at Ben, I think. It's very long-winded and it's quite easy to say, but remembering what it is and putting it all in the right order
The current president of the FIA, let's go with that. I mean, he's not liked. He's really not liked because he's made not just Formula One, but all motorsport currently... a bit of a joke and made it like almost, well, really difficult for the teams, really difficult for the drivers. The fans aren't really a big fan of him either. So I feel Sainz would, it come in from the point of view of a driver and obviously doing like team principling and stuff. And
he'd come in and fuck shit up in a good way.
Well, I feel he understands motorsport. He understands the stresses and pressures of what it's like to be in that situation. I think the first thing to go would be the swearing ban.
Yeah,
that would be the first thing to go because he understands that in heated situations, things do happen. And I really hope it's true because I feel by the whole motorsport, well, the motoring and motorsport community and everything that is regulated by the FIA, he'll get in with the by landslide.
Yeah, definitely. He'll definitely have the favourite vote if anything is to come of that rumour. Again, from where I found that information, nothing's confirmed, nothing's factual.
Yeah, I've seen it rumoured a few places.
So I've not seen it anywhere solid just yet. But can some Formula One content creator just go ask him that question, please? Like, yeah, Cadence Braking, Bella, Sky, someone go.
Someone who has better connections than we do. So we're just a tiny little Formula One podcast.
Did you see that Bella James was also hosting all the stuff for F1 Academy? Well, I say all of it. Official hosting.
You know what? She deserves it. She's worked hard as a content creator for the sport.
She's got, I think she's just got the personality that kind of works well with it. And she's got that Brundle approach. That's the only way I can describe it. She's not scared to say something slightly controversial.
Yeah, I mean, we love Brundle.
Exactly.
But so moving on, obviously, there's been multiple amounts of changes in Alpine. I feel...
Yeah, so there's two things really to talk about with Alpine. But two things with two of their own things in each individual thing. So obviously the big news, it's a good job that we recorded this episode so late in the week this week.
Yeah.
Because we've got this fresh information.
Yeah, we're... Like, so, every podcast, you know, this week has just, like, scrambled to get an episode together. And we're like, we're just running late.
Yeah.
So, us running late is working in our favour.
I know. Normally we're stressing, but the big news, obviously, as a lot of you may already be aware, but if you're not, you heard it here first. Doohan at Alpine is now being sent to basically first in line reserve driver, which means that Franco Colapinto has stepped in and taken his place, which will start from Imola.
Yeah, so, and that's for the next five races as well.
So this little bit of information I've pulled from The Guardian and TalkSport is, in a surprising move, Alpine has replaced rookie driver Jack Doohan with reserve driver Franco Colapinto for the next five races, starting with the Imola Grand Prix. I'm not Italian enough to say that and not do it justice. Doohan struggled to secure points in the opening six races, leading to his reassignment as the team's primary reserve driver. Colapinto, who previously raced for Williams in 2024, brings fresh talent to the team as they aim to improve their standings.
I mean, I remember this was rumoured a while back and I remember speaking about it on this pod.
Well, I think we spoke about it before the season even started.
Yeah, it was. Because
Doohan was signed and Colapinto...
race and everyone's like, is Doohan even going to get a race? Is Colapinto just going to take his seat straight at the gate?
Yeah.
And I think fair play to Alpine actually giving Doohan a chance.
Yeah, he's definitely had a chance. I don't feel like it's very fair to swap him out because Alpine haven't had the most competitive car this season. And
no, they haven't.
Because of that, the drivers can't make the car perform better than what it actually is. I think if you put any previous world champion in
that car, they're only going to perform as well as the car will let them.
Yeah, like granted, they might get a little bit higher than what Gasly and Doohan have been doing recently, but yeah, I feel like, I mean, Gasly's technically a race winner, I think. Or he's definitely a podium. No, yeah, he's definitely a winner because I remember when he went from, it was AlphaTauri to Red Bull and then demoted back to Red Bull.
AlphaTauri.
Back to AlphaTauri. And then he was like, fuck this, and won. So it was like, haha, fuck you.
What a guy.
But I'm just glad. I feel really bad for doing it. I really do like him. But
I'm just glad
to have Colapinto back in F1 again.
Just for the name.
Just for the commentating.
The thing is, Franco Colapinto, he's a good driver as well.
He's
a really good driver.
He definitely drives like a rookie, i.e. he takes a lot of risks and you can tell he doesn't have as much experience as a more experienced Formula One driver because of all the mistakes that he made in last season where he crashed a lot and cost Williams a lot of money. But yeah.
The thing is, though, again, like we've spoke about this a lot, but the jump from F2 to F1,
it's big.
It's massive. It's not like, say, F3 to F2. That F2 to F1, the cars are like three times quicker.
Mm.
They're a lot more heavy in terms of downforce.
It's also a completely different car, really, isn't it?
Hard to control. But moving on with the other Alpine shakeup, we've also got Oliver.
Do you want to read the summary?
Do you want to? Because I'm dyslexic as fuck, and this font is not good for my dyslexic ass.
Okay. So Do you just want to summarise it with the two names?
Well.
Or do you just want me to go straight in?
Go straight in.
All right. So.
Balls deep.
Pardon me. Later. I don't know who this Oliver Oakes is, and if I'm honest, it's the first time I'm hearing his name.
Oh, same. So, I ain't even gonna lie to you, like fake fan. We're fake fans.
But
we haven't said that in a while, you know. Fake fans.
We haven't. Well, here we are.
Fake fans.
We're fake Alpine fans. What's mine is I've got like an Alpine shirt and a jacket and a hat.
So a fake fan.
Fake fan. Okay. Proof you can buy things doesn't make you a fan. Anyway. Oliver Oakes has resigned as Alpine's team principal after less than a year in the role. That's probably what we haven't heard of him. His departure is reportedly linked to internal disagreements, especially regarding the driver lineup. Ooh, that's good to know. Flavio Briatore, a controversial figure previously banned from F1 due to the 2008 Crashgate scandal and the rest, has stepped in to assume team leadership duties. Briatore's return marks a significant shift for Alpine, which has experienced considerable instability in recent years.
Sorry, I want ready for that little slight and the rest.
Honestly, I know. He's a fucking scumbag. He really is. Like, and that's being polite about it.
Do you know what? F1 ain't got enough scumbags at the minute, though. It's just got Christian Horner. And he hasn't really
been Briatore now.
And he hasn't really been scumbaggy recently, Horner.
Recently. That information was pulled from The Guardian, by the way. But
we're actually citing where we get our info from now.
Yeah.
We're trying to get better.
I mean, I don't really have a lot to say about that whole situation.
No, same.
Learning that the reason, well, reportedly linked to internal disagreements, especially regarding the driver lineup. So, I don't know, maybe... Oliver Oakes is a friend of Doohan's, or
he could have been backing Doohan,
yeah,
or he's had financial investment to back Doohan,
or it could just simply be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, this is ridiculous. It's been six races. He's a rookie.
And
we're
a
mid-pack team at best,
and he's not showing progress. And it's not like Aston Martin where you've got Daddy Stroll in the corner.
Yeah,
for you. You've got obviously that if the board of directors at Alpine are like going to Oliver Oakes, I mean, like. Sort it out. Like
we've
got another driver who's raced
Formula One already.
Like, and he's sat basically in the wings ready to go. We wanted to, and that could have been thinking about as well why the rumours originally came through of Carpenter replacing Doohan.
Yeah, because it was like, I think it was a Tuesday or Wednesday when I first heard about it.
Yeah, same.
And then I sent you the link, didn't I, originally about Tuesday of Oliver Oakes.
I'll be honest, mate. You sent to me about 9 o'clock, and I had an early night on Tuesday. Oh, Matt, I was gone by 9 o'clock.
There you go.
Getting to the age of 31, mate. It's catching up on me. There's going to be people sending me messages saying you're 31. Fucking grow up.
Grow up. Step up, mate. To be fair, though, you are a busy bee. So
I've been at the minute for me. I ain't stopped.
Anyway, moving swiftly on.
Yes.
So this is again another piece of information that I thought we'd pull up before we get into the race and the sprint and all that jazz that I'm sure everyone wants to hear about.
There's a few more little bits of news as well. So I'll let you take the lead on that one again.
So this is something that I only learned about 20 minutes ago when scrambling together some extra bits and bobs to put in the episode.
Just some filler content.
So concerns over new racing rules. So this has come from The Race, who I've referenced
a lot.
You
reference that. Yeah, you do reference them a lot.
So I trust what they have to say. But recent on-track battles have highlighted issues with the 2025 F1 racing regulations. Drivers, including Max Verstappen, have expressed concerns on the new rules, that the new rules have made racing feel unnatural, focusing more on avoiding penalties than on competitive driving. The revisions to the driving standard guidelines were intended to clarify grey areas, but may have inadvertently impacted the quality of racing.
I can't disagree.
Yeah.
I can't disagree. It feels like, no, the FIA, like the smallest little thing happens, whether a driver gets pushed off track.
I feel like from when I was, before I got fully back into Formula One again, not that I was ever like massively into it anyway, but when I used to watch it when I was a lot younger with my dad, I never used to recall people getting penalties and stuff.
The amount of shit that people just get away with back in the day.
Yeah, and no one pushed the boundaries because they did it again. They didn't want a serious penalty, like they didn't want a disqualification, but they'd still...
Or like a proper points penalty.
Yeah, but they still actually raced properly and weren't worried about or going off. Like track limits is a big one where I understand, like in... I don't want to give too much away before we get into it, but like in the Miami race... Lando overtook Verstappen, who was about the middle of the race, and he was...
Exceeded track limits.
He thought he did. I don't know if he actually did or not, but he was like, I'm pretty sure I exceeded track limits there. So the next corner, he gave it back. And I think that's not bad. That's not going against what this rule thing is that's like we've just summarised. But I think that's something you wouldn't have had to have thought like that in the past.
You would have been like, I had the corner.
Yeah, and if you rely on the team to tell you...
I do actually agree with track limits, because it is...
Yeah, track limits is fair.
Track limits is fair because it stops people cutting corners, like horrifically cutting corners and getting like an advantage because of it. So I do agree with that. But I do also agree that there is like... I mean, we always joke on the 10-second penalty to Ocon, but it does seem to be one of those ones where like it's getting a bit too rule-driven.
Yeah,
it's... Like people can't... Like they are making split-second... high pressure decisions at high speed.
Yeah.
But you know what? In a bit more positive news, obviously, yes. Max and Kelly's new baby, Lily Verstappen.
Yes.
And it was the first time I've ever seen Max Verstappen have a photo with him.
Not wearing Red Bull shirt.
No, but you know what? I actually rated that.
Yeah.
Could you
imagine him stood there holding his newborn daughter?
wearing a Red Bull shirt. I was there. I was waiting for it, to be honest.
I was too. I think it's
Danny Kvyat's probably fucking fuming.
He is. He's kicking off.
But yeah, I feel that's everything for the news. So moving on. Oh no! How fucking organised is this episode this week? Which we're getting better. We've had a couple of shit show episodes, so we've pulled our finger out of our ass for this.
It's one of those that, like, sometimes, especially with the Grand Prix, if it's a if it's a slower race, it's a bit hard to be enthusiastic and talk about a lot of things. But I really do feel like Miami, the sprint was a good race, and the race itself, the actual Grand Prix on Sunday, was a good race.
I will say, talking to Miami, let's be honest, how many times did you play Will Smith Miami on the weekend?
Loads. Absolutely loads.
Literally, the best part is that you came into my bank holiday Sunday gig at Schloss, and literally just saw you tag me in a video because I was playing Will Smith Miami, and you know exactly why I was playing that.
Of course.
Welcome to Miami. It pisses me off because, like, that every year they should have just Will Smith there.
Yeah, it should be done.
Every year, don't care. Don't care if it gets old.
So, I think this is the first race of the season that neither of us attended F1 Arcade.
Yeah, I'm not going out. I was just comfortable chilling.
You were just comfortable at home enjoying yourself, weren't you?
However, big ups to Nina. Heard it was your first race weekend and you said you did a good job, so smashed it, bad girl. So
I watched everything whilst DJing at work, like every single bit of...
No, you didn't.
I did.
No, you didn't.
Why didn't I?
Because you were working. We don't watch Formula One while we're working.
Oh, I'm like a woman when it comes to work, mate. I can multitask.
There's no such thing as multitasking. It's called hyper-tasking, where you switch in tasks in multiple microsecond into increments. Anyway, we progress.
No, I was dead ass watching F1 while I was working. So
this guy does not fear losing his job.
The thing is, I was working first and watching Formula One second. And a lot of the time, when crucial moments of the work came in, i.e., as a DJ, song selection and mixing your tunes, I was pausing the race. So I was, I even sent it to you when I was watching.
For the audio listeners, I've just mimed a JCB with the Dom's digging himself out of this hole that he's just dug himself into.
I don't think anyone that like I work for would watch the podcasts.
So. I'm going to send it to Joe.
Joe, look, here you go. Send him a short. Here, Joe, here's Dom. To be honest, I think I told him because he came over and he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, F1. It was the sprint, though, that I was watching at that time. Yeah. So.
But anyway, we digress. Moving on to the sprints. I feel, first thing out the gate, Lando won the sprint.
Oh, great. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Anyway. but that was Lando won the sprint after a well-timed pit stop during a late safety car period, leading home a McLaren 1-2 with teammate Oscar Piastri. I am
fuming. at that because...
Did you want it to be a Piastri?
I wanted... Well, no, it was Piastri's race, 100%.
And oh, it was. Only oh, reason watch, Norris won it, that, it was.
Only reason Norris won that is because the safety car came out and I think he was like maybe a second or two out of the pit behind Norris. And if, yeah, if the safety car wouldn't have come out, I think Norris would have... Piastri would have taken
the race.
I think I said to you as well, I felt like it was like, although it was two of the same team, it felt like Abu Dhabi 21.
Yeah, oh no,
the safety car went in on the last corner of the last lap. Oh, like, no. One lap sooner and it would have been Abu Dhabi 21. And I would have been like...
I know.
So, sorry to trigger everyone, but it triggered me.
I will say though, not only that, it was kind of one of them ones where like, it rarely actually rains in Miami. Like in terms of for the race. Like we haven't had a wet race at Miami in a while.
Well, in the race, I wouldn't go as far as to say it really rains in Miami because like you got to remember it's Florida. There's like, it's hurricane place. It's hurricane central. And Miami's there. Although it's lovely and hot. It's tropical climate at the end of the day.
Oh yeah, no. So, like I mean, like we haven't had a like, wet race in Miami. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like obviously heavy rain before the race caused absolute chaos, which it fucking did, you know?
I didn't realise how bad it was. So it was Antonelli leading it because obviously spoilers. He was pole. But
I wanted to say is like, I didn't realise how bad the rain was until I saw Matt Armstrong's Instagram stories because he was there with Aston Martin as a guest. And honestly, mate, it was fucking flooding.
Well, Antonelli was saying on the formation lap, he went, and I think Piastri in P2, when he, like again on the formation lap, they were saying even in our positions, you can't see shit.
Yeah.
So, says a lot when, I can't remember what wet
I'm pretty sure Lewis Hamilton said something as well, like about, no, it was Verstappen, he was like, I can't see shit. I don't know if you put a coating on my visor or something.
Yeah.
But I just can't see shit.
Yeah, I remember him saying something about that.
They need that good Stiana glass.
Yeah. And it's good flat inside. I can't remember what race it was before. There was a wet race on the formation lap, and George Russell was on pole, and everyone else was like, "We can't see fuck all," and George Russell was like, "I can see fine. Let's go, come on." And he's like, "You're in P1. That's why." Like, come on, George.
I will say though, again, Antonelli. He is 100% a future world champion. I mean, he took pole on the sprint qualifying, becoming the youngest ever pole sitter, but sadly lost it in turn one to Piastri. And I do feel that was
an experience thing.
That was pure experience. Like, I look at how Antonelli drives and he fought for it. He fought for his place.
He did.
But that's just Piastri having more experience and obviously having a frigging mentor that's Mark Webber.
And having a fucking fantastic car as well.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Where, to be honest though, the McLarens haven't been fantastic in the wet. They haven't been terrible. But they haven't been the best so far anyway. I mean, only had Japan, but...
But honestly, like, I was so hyped to see, like, Antonelli as, like, a pole sitter.
Hang on, that's just reminding me. But what was the result in Japan? Right there.
Oh, Dumbs.
Japan. Oh, I was going to say that McLaren's didn't do too well, but it was literally Verstappen, Norris, Piastri. So...
That shut you the fuck up, didn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway... As we continue on.
Moving on.
So going back to Antonelli, like I'm so happy for him because I really feel that Toto took a massive...
It was a big risk.
It was a massive risk putting Antonelli in instead of like some of the other odd drivers. He could have had Sainz, could have had anyone. And it really shows that Mercedes' investment into him is paying off.
Oh, 100%.
Because I mean, he's sitting mid-pack now, mid to upper mid-pack of all the races. He's still a rookie, but compared to all the other rookies, he's just dominating.
Oh, yeah. He's killing it.
Like, he's the strongest rookie. Moving swiftly on, Alonso crashed into Liam Lawson.
Yeah. Well, that was... that's what inevitably triggered the late safety car that allowed Norris to pit and maintain his lead.
Bastards.
Honestly, I was so mad.
Booming.
It was one of those where, like, I'm not saying he didn't even deserve second. Like, because he did, Norris deserved to have second.
No, he did, but it was Piastri sprint.
Piastri killed that first corner and held a hell of a lead. And so there we go. It's what it is.
Like, so moving on, obviously.
Monsieur Hamilton,
what did he do?
Drove a red car.
You dickhead.
Hamilton finished third after a strategic early switch to slick tyres. Verstappen dropped out of the points due to a 10-second penalty for an unsafe release.
Yeah, that was fucking wild, you know.
That was, yeah.
And you know what? You know, I want to stick up for Verstappen, but that was in no way his fault.
It wasn't his fault, but...
That was his team that let him down.
But his team, well, him getting the penalty was deserved because what they're going to do? Oh, it's a 10-second penalty for Red Bull. What? So yeah, that was a team error, and I think Christian Horner and Helmut Marko need to take a good, long, hard look at themselves in the mirror. Not for too long, because they might scare each other, but do that. And
I've just realised, for the visual listeners, if you're wondering what the fuck I did to my nose, by the way, a fan fell on it. That sounds as crazy, but that's the joys of having loads of racking with equipment on. I just realised, I touched my nose and I was like, ah, that hurt. And I was like, hang on, there's a big fuck off red mark on my nose for my birthday as well.
Yeah.
The fucking joys. Anyway, yeah.
Girlfriend, put some makeup on it. Fuck off.
Oh, no, but for real though, like, because it was it Antonelli that he clipped?
I think it might have been.
Was it Antonelli? I really want to say it was. Yeah, it was, because Kimi was coming in for the pits and he had to basically...
Oh, yeah, he had to do it was basically a drive through the pits because he couldn't pit because Verstappen hit him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember now. Oh.
Like, yeah, that was... It was terrible, like, and I feel it should have been... It shouldn't have just been Verstappen that got penalted. It should have also been the team had a points deduction because of that.
Yeah.
That could have been...
It was dangerous.
It wasn't just the cars. There was lives in that.
Yeah. The people in the pit. Like, granted, you know, he weren't going fast by any means. And all he did was ruin his front wing.
It's still 50 mile an hour pit speed, though. 50 mile an hour, like, will kill you.
Mm.
And what I think them cars, they're designed to be, like, frigging knives.
Mm.
Like, 50 mile an hour, when them hit you, you're fucking done, mush.
You don't want to come out underneath one of them either, because they're, like, that high off the floor.
Yeah, I mean, it'll crush her. Like, it's...
I don't know. Do you reckon? Do you reckon we could, like, bench a Formula One car? Like,
they're, like, 600 and what?
Do you reckon we could do it together?
I reckon Eddie Allgood.
He could lift it easy because he's already done like over a ton, isn't he?
No, I did half a ton.
I reckon me and you could, if it was like life and death and there was a Formula One car over the top of us, I reckon we could lift it off.
Oh yeah, lifting up from one point. If he's in the middle, nah, you clapped, you ain't doing that. But
like just front, but anyway, moving on. Post-race penalties demoted Albon, Lawson and Behrman out of the points for various infractions.
Safety car collisions and unsafe release.
So, yeah.
That leaves the final top 8 point scorers being Norris, Piastri, Hamilton, Russell, the fuck, Stroll, Tsunoda, Antonelli, and
Pierre Gasly!
I knew you wanted to that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, moving on to the race highlights. Let's go just straight out of the gate with probably the big one is McLaren's Miami Masterclass.
Yeah, honestly. The whole race for McLaren was...
I think the whole season has just been...
Did you see the video that someone that was watching the race posted?
I wanted to talk about this, where you see the two McLarens and then there's just a massive gap.
And then you have to
wait
for George Russell, that 30-second gap.
I don't know if you know as well, like when the two McLarens are parked and they were like basically going to in the cool-down room, George was then just Parc Fermé. For some reason, my brain
just... You can never remember it. You know what it is, but you can never remember how to say it.
My brain crashes on that word. Everyone's got a couple of words that just obliterate them. That's one for me. Can't remember what it is again.
Well, I mean, that win signified the first back-to-back wins for McLaren since 1998.
Which, that's mad.
That's
actually crazy. And I'll bet he's that Brown in the mid feels fucking incredible.
I think, I can't remember who it was, but I think it was from around the same era. But it's the first time McLaren have had a 3-in-a-row race winner. I think it was Mika Hakkinen, so around the 98 era. That would have been Coulthard and Hakkinen back when the McLarens were like a black and silver. They were some pretty badass cars. But Norris versus Piastri, like, realistically...
This sounds bad. Piastri is the main driver now. I know McLaren don't say they have stuff like that, but I do think that, like...
Have you seen, like, the Somalian pirate meme was like, look at me,
I am the number one driver now. Look at me, I am the captain now.
Yeah, that
captain
is...
Phillips. What a film.
That is Piastri.
Yeah, I do really feel like Piastri is he's a team leader.
After my controversial comments last week, we realised from the Formula One, I think I sent a picture to you, that Piastri does have a girlfriend, and she was at the Miami race the weekend just gone.
Yeah, I know. You literally sent me a photo. I wonder what the context of that is, but now I know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, obviously, like, moving on, I think...
There ain't much to talk about McLaren. They won. They dominated. They had a 30-second lead.
You know what? They're just dominating the season.
Yeah.
They got McLaren. Will one of them will be the world champion, and they will be the constructors champion.
Yeah,
and I know that's a big claim to say we're only in the first third of the season.
Yeah, if that, maybe the first quarter,
of the season. But I do really feel that like it's going to be McLaren this year,
100%, which works well in my favour, because both of my season predictions, well, my season prediction is Piastri and McLaren. So,
Wow. Well, Best get Zaff on the go.
Got 2020 hindsight, mate.
Fucking 2020 bullshit, more like. Anyway, Verstappen and Red Bull. The title of this is Cracks in the Armour. Dom, give us some context.
So, in case you haven't been watching the Formula One this season, all Max Verstappen's
Imagine, you're listening to this podcast and expecting us to give you the race info.
So... Other than Japan, which he still did it anyway, every single race this season, Max Verstappen's been complaining about something to do with his car. So on the Miami race, he basically struggled with tyres and track temps. He obviously got his unsafe release time penalty in the sprint, and he was obviously getting a bit mad. He's, you know, first time dad. New child, like, just born. So, what are you saying, Sam? Has Red Bull finally lost? Does Red Bull no longer give you wings? Is this just a bad time?
No, I really think Red Bull's done. Like, I really feel that, like...
I think it's the end of the Red Bull dominance era.
I mean, we spoke, I don't know if we spoke about this on the pod or on the last episode, but basically, potentially if Verstappen goes to Aston Martin... And then obviously because of the Honda thing, Yuki Tsunoda goes Honda. Aston Martin.
With the Honda engine.
Like, that it's... McLaren would have to have a brand new lineup. And it's kind of one of those ones where, like, Max, every race
Red
has... My God,
I was like, why have McLaren got to have one? I thought there was some context to that.
Red Bull have got to have a new lineup, not McLaren. Love you, McLaren. Love you, Zach. Speaking of Verstappen,
Andrea Stella. He's the actual team principal, but no one actually talks about him, and I feel like he's in the shadows a lot.
Yeah, because Daddy Stroll.
No, I mean, Andrea Stella is the team principal of McLaren.
Yes.
Zach Brown's CEO. He's not principal.
Yeah. But it's always Zach.
Everyone looks at Zach there. So, yeah. Because there's teams like Mercedes, where Toto's the CEO and the principal, and Red Bull, where it's the same.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Anyway, I digress. I think it was Brundle, like on the commentary or Quali with Max. Was Max, who was on P1 for Miami?
For actual race? Yeah. Piastri was on pole, I'm sure he was. I don't think we've got it in a note.
Could you just check that?
Fact check it.
I swear to God, it was Verstappen on P1.
Miami GP quali.
You know what? Look, we've done all these notes, and normally we've got the qualifying grid on there here, but we don't actually have it.
I know Max secured pole position.
Yeah,
narrowly edged him out.
I remember this line, and you don't remember what I was going to say.
Go on.
Basically, I think it was Brundle. Don't hold me to this. But basically, it was Max showing who really is the daddy right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, sensational.
To be honest, I'm surprised I didn't remember that Max was on pole, because two of the people where I work on my Saturday late gig, massive, massive McLaren fans, mainly Norris fans. But I was watching qualifying at work. We'd only just opened and there wasn't any customers, so it was acceptable.
Sure, that's fine.
But they were moaning.
You know, it just cracked me up at the minute with the Verstappen fans, like, especially when Max is on pole and they're like, that's it, it's his race, and then he just doesn't win. And as like in the special obviously with Miami, he didn't even get on the pole. Like, not on the pole, on the podium.
Yeah, he did drive quite well. I've got to give him the credit for that. But he didn't drive well enough to deserve to be on the podium, which is fair enough. So
again, like
maybe someone who did drive well enough to end up on the podium that isn't in a bright orange car.
But he's in a... Is it black or is it silver these days, Mercedes?
Or is it that black? Blacky silver, Petronas-y bluey colour.
Yeah, it's... You never know. But Mr. Russell?
Mr. Russell.
Like, I feel George again.
He's from the same place as Martin Brundle.
I know.
And his dad teaches at Aston University.
I reckon we just go pop into Aston University, say, like...
Interview his dad.
Yeah, get his dad. Just rock up with three SM7Bs and be like, yo!
I'm also certain that George Russell's a Wolves fan, you know.
Mate, hear me out. I know people who organise the box at Wolves. Should we just see if we can get down?
It'd be funny.
Oh, George, come here.
George, come here.
Have a pint of Banks.
Have a pint of Banks, his mate, and talk some Formula One.
Anyway, I feel George, like it says here, quietly, he's quietly consistent, and he is.
Again,
he's
Mr. Safe. I stand by my statement that he sits in like P4, P5, maybe P6, and then he waits for something to go wrong in front, and then he goes, now's my time. Not that that's a bad thing, honesty. But
it feels like he doesn't push as hard as he can.
Yeah, I feel like he genuinely can do better. He's just, I don't want to say scared to, but like he's playing it safe, and playing it safe so far has secured him. I think he's third in the Drivers' Championship, but that puts Mercedes second in the Constructors as well.
Yeah.
So I can make jokes about him waiting for other people to make mistakes so that he can get on the podium. But he's getting on the podium. He's doing well.
He's doing really well.
He's the best driver on the grid with the quite clearly the best car, second to the McLarens.
Yeah, I mean,
like the McLarens are the only people that have, or the only cars and drivers that have the competitive edge over him.
Oh yeah, so far in the season. Anyway. I mean, we say us and everybody I speak to, those McLarens are rockets though. But moving swiftly on, obviously the championship picture is shifting as well. I mean, in March, did you expect to see Piastri leading the Drivers' Championship?
Yes.
I'll be honest, I didn't.
I know a lot of people didn't, but I was like,
because how
Piastri is my man.
How he started the season versus Lando, they were both quick cars, but it did feel like it was going to be Lando's season.
Yeah, I can agree with that, but. I was saying in December that Piastri is going to be the man this season.
I mean, it's got as well here on our notes that the constructors fight as well. Can McLaren seriously challenge Red Bull across the season? I think easily.
Mercedes is who they should be worried about.
Red Bull on
George Russell and Kimi Antonelli at the moment. Those are the people that Norris and Piastri should be worried about.
McLaren's real threat.
Yeah. And granted, it's not a big one,
but
it's the only threat that they've got.
Every time they're getting faster,
yeah,
like they're getting closer. Fair enough, a 30-second gap instead of fucking 30-second gap.
They're getting faster. Half a minute later,
but also like Miami is a track. I mean, do you feel it's still a good diverse layout? Well, good diverse layout for racing. Or do you feel it's a little bit too much like a street race now?
Don't know. Don't care. Personally, I know you wanted some digging out of me there, but I can't comment on that because that's outside of my knowledge, I suppose. I don't know what makes a good Formula One track
but I feel as a racetrack, because obviously I've done a lot more track driving than you have. As a track, it looks like a great track. It's got some really good fast bits in it. It's got some nice technical sections. And
well, after, like, just looking at the track layout on a map, it looks like a good track. I mean, I know it's completely different, but I play a lot of racing games over the years, and yeah, it looks like a track that if it was on like a game, I'd be like, yeah, let's do that one. But that's because I'm like, I don't know, I look at it and go, oh, that looks pretty. So
I will say, moving on though, with Williams as well, like Williams are starting to really show some dominance.
Williams doing really well. There was a lot of so obviously I wrote down here they were fighting back and forth. I think it was for P five, six, or seven, but they were constantly fighting.
I think it was Sainz, Hamilton, and Leclerc battling for P5, six, and seven.
And there was Albon as well, because the two Williams drivers were constantly swapping positions, and it weren't a team order. It was they were racing, swapping positions because they were under strict instruction not to race at all, and they did.
Naughty. Sorry, I yawn then. I'm just tired all the time.
I imagine James Vowles is a bit pissed at him for that, but
it's one of those ones though where, like, if they're racing, they're racing, and
They were racing clean. They didn't cause no collisions.
You know what I do feel? I feel like Sainz's influence now, Williams, is starting to sink in.
Yeah, and
like all the teams he's been with and his years of knowledge of the sport.
Well, Sainz was racing. It'll bring us swiftly on to the next point, but Sainz was racing all the way up till the final, like, two, three corners. Sadly, didn't take the position, but with Hamilton, he was putting the pressure on for the last little bit, all the way to the end. So
I'll be totally honest, and I know I've said it before, but like, I really feel Sainz is an underrated driver anyway. But it's one of those ones where, like, obviously we've got to speak about Lewis.
Before we talk about what's written down, can we just talk, because it will lead into what is written down.
Okay, go for it.
The Tagliatelle tactics this race from Ferrari with
fucking
Leclerc.
Mate, honestly.
Oh my days.
Bro, this is why I want to speak about it. It's like, honestly, like, it's fucking bullshit. Like, I actually felt for Lewis.
Yeah. Lewis and Leclerc, because by the time that they listened to Lewis and let him pass Leclerc, it was too late for him. Yeah, it was too late for him to do anything. And then Leclerc's behind Lewis going, why the fuck have you let him pass? Like,
it's too late.
I'm faster now. And it's like,
but the thing is, it's one of those ones where Lewis was chopping down
the Delta.
Like, he was chopping it down, but it wasn't quick enough.
No.
And for me, that's one of them ones where, like, both those drivers were pushing those cars as hard as they could.
100%.
And if they can't close that gap, that's the car problem. I mean, obviously, there was some absolutely iconic radio calls. My favourite two was, do you want to go have a cup of tea while you do that?
Yeah, have a
cup of tea while we wait. Just, like, well, it's when he calls, he's like, can we swap positions? Because I feel I can push faster.
Yeah.
And they're like, just wait.
And then it's like,
and he's like, okay. And then he goes again. He's like, do you want to have a cup of tea while I'm waiting?
The one that, I mean, you wrote this down, but that's the one that stood out for me. It was like, Sainz 1.4 seconds behind. It's like, oh, shall I let him pass too?
Yeah, that like, didn't
that was.
And obviously when he kicked off at him over, was it China? Like, when he swapped positions.
Yeah. He brought that up and...
Yeah, he's like, I swap positions, no questions asked.
Yeah.
He was like, because that's what a good teammate does.
I don't know if they asked Leclerc or not, whether they just didn't pass on the information to Leclerc or whether it was just Leclerc not listening, but it sounds to me like Ferrari just didn't tell Leclerc, but citation needed, I guess.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where I really did feel for Lewis on that one. But you know what, Dom, let's send this podcast home with the race results.
Yes, so we need to come up with a way to do this, but I'll take odd, you take even, and next we'll do it the other way around. So P1, Oscar Piastri.
P2, Lando Norris.
P3, George Russell.
P4, Max Verstappen.
P5, Alex Albon.
P6, Kimi Antonelli.
P7, Charles Leclerc.
P8, Mr. Hamilton.
P9, Carlos Sainz.
P10, Tsunoda.
P11, Isaac Ajar.
P12, with a 10-second penalty, Esteban Ocon.
P13, Pierre Gasly.
P14, Hülkenberg.
P15, Fernando Alonso.
P16, Stroll.
And then that brings us to all of our DNFs for the race. P17, Liam Lawson. His DNF was because of, I think it was because of a collision.
P18 was Gabriel Bortoleto. I was like, what the fuck is, my brain crashed then, but that was because his engine failed. I'm assuming that's what PE failure means.
Yeah, power unit failure.
Yeah. Engine failure, mate.
P19 was Oliver Behrman with another power unit failure.
P20 was Jack Doohan. And again, he's kind of fucked it.
He was the first one to retire. So, but I think, I don't know whose collision was with.
That was with a puncture, yeah. However, let's talk about the last race predictions. Now, Dom.
Gladly.
For the first time.
Oh, yeah.
What, 15 episodes? You've got it right. Are we on 15 episodes?
We're on the 16th episode.
Yeah, 16 episodes and you finally got it right.
Well, yeah, but it's only been, what, six, seven races? What? Hang on. See,
well,
six races. To
be fair, it was a toss-up between me and you.
We did close. So you went for a double or nothing. And
so I'm officially on nothing now.
Yeah. Well, you got the Piastri as in the right place.
Yeah.
You just got Russell and Norris the wrong way around. So you still got a point. So
still got a point. Well, technically 2 points because it's double. Because I switched. But no, actually, no, I'm in minus points. We'll work the same.
You got a point. I'll give you a point. That's fair.
So Dom, you officially got, you didn't do double or nothing there. You stuck.
I stuck. So
you got 3 points.
I thought it was five if you get all three of them right in the right order.
No, I thought it was just three.
I was going to do five because it's substantial.
Okay, you get
but
5 points.
We can do three, I don't mind. I'm still winning in that case though. But.
No, four, it was four. Because you get one for in the right point, right order, and a point for every driver that you get right.
Okay, I can live with four. I've got to change it in the sheet real quick to get the scores. Hang on, I'm here. Because I did put five. I'll change it to four.
Matt, your dad was fucking miles off, you know.
Yeah.
Fuck me, Paul.
So your prediction was Piastri, Russell Norris.
Yours was Piastri, Norris, Russell.
Which was obviously the race result. And my old man was Norris, Verstappen, Antonelli. And I think the reason that my dad went Norris, Verstappen, Antonelli.
Did your dad double or nothing?
No. So my dad didn't double or anything because he made his predictions Sunday morning. But that was my fault for not asking him sooner. So he didn't really get a chance to double or nothing. But I think the reason Antonelli's on my dad's
was because of the sprint.
Was because of the sprint. So, but yeah. So
right, next race prediction.
Do you want to do the next race prediction, or should we skip it and start on the next one and just fuck off a double or nothing?
Yeah, we'll skip it and start on the next one. I think.
I'm just going to say because it's going to be...
Shut up. Don't say it. All shut right. The fuck up. Keep it to yourself.
Okay.
Bitch.
I was just going to say what my prediction was for P1 and that's it because I'm not going to change it. But
we're leaving it at that. We'll talk about that on the next episode. Leave you on a cliffhanger.
So
The
next race is next Sunday. I think it's the 18th of May.
It is and I'll be 31 then.
Yeah. It is at Imola. So it's next Sunday, not this Sunday coming. It's 2 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. local time. And the next episode, I think I didn't tell you about this. I just wrote it down, but we can not do it if you don't want it. But I was going to say we can talk about the summaries. So obviously last episode we talked about the top 10 drivers on the grid or the top five teams with their drivers. And I think that the next episode, we should talk about all the drivers that we didn't talk about in the last one.
Yeah.
Because.
And if we run out of time, we can also potentially smash out this Danny Kvyat episode that's been sat in the wings for fucking God knows how long.
Yeah. Well, we can smash that out. Anyway. That can be a what's it called?
Bonus episode.
No, a mid season break.
Sensational.
Episode. But anyway, the next episode that we do, if we do that summarised thing, there will be this time, I've said it about five or six times when I've been talking about doing it, there will be some surprises for you.
Sensational. Anyway, Dom, where can we find you?
You can find me on practically every bit of social media at DJ Dom Cook. That's who I am. What about you, Sam?
You can find me at Sentio Silvano on literally everything. Where can you find the podcast?
Podcast is... I had to think for a second then. At Box Pod.
On everything.
Everything. Instagram and TikTok seem to be the two big ones. I'm gonna get back into the TikToks again soon. Because
yeah.
needs to
We've
be
sorted
done.
Everything out. YouTube, like the intro music we use basically is from a company called Motion Array. It's fully licensed, it's royalty free, and YouTube.
You have to pay for it.
Yeah, it's
a paid
service.
We own
the license for this music. And basically, YouTube is like, huh, this is copyrighted. So like, we've had to battle copyright strikes, but all that is sorted now.
We've got a solid kind of, I don't want to say a schedule, but a solid method of getting everything done now, haven't we? And I think
now it's just me. All this is due to be decorated soon as well.
No, it's just down to me to get these little highlights out.
Get the content out. But yeah, on that, thank you so much for listening. As always, we'll see you next week where we talk about the Italian GP.
Well, we'll talk about our predictions. We could probably spitball some previous facts about and tidbits about the Italian
just
company.
General drivers. Dom, it's been a pleasure.
It has. It's been emotional.
Over there.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye. See you later.